That works for the little ones.
Yep. How's that? My father, you say, could be a weatherman, be wrong half the time and still get paid for it. You know? Oh. Well, the pastor used to be there, John Garish. He's retired. I didn't realize it'd been that long, but it said 15. Yeah. He's younger than me.
This church, I didn't know, realize that this church and the church that y'all went to preschool for too, there's sister churches?
Well, same synod, Missouri. Okay. Yeah. Part of Wells, whatever. So. Okay. Well, good morning. The sun is shining in Wisconsin. We haven't got the heat yet, but that's coming. 40. That's heat in Wisconsin, right? Okay, we're going to be looking at faith is respectful of others here in a minute. Any prayer requests before we get started? Mark? Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Joe, my cousin, he's improving, but he's still not ready to be released.
Is that arm working yet?
She didn't say anything.
Oh.
She's getting real touchy when I start asking questions.
Oh.
Just pray for his daughter, Jessica. She's like, she's in and out, up and down. She's got issues all her own, and dealing with dad, too.
Okay. That's a sandwich generation, when you're dealing with your own and your parents. So.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Margie's going to, okay, reconstructed knee. Is that what we're saying?
They're going to basically sand it all down, put like cement, bone cements, and put it all back together, put my kneecap over. Yeah, he should.
Yeah, just do it and do it right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's Wednesday morning. Okay. And far as I know, Douglas is still in West Allis. He should be getting out. I'll let him explain what all's going on. Basically, I think he overdid it with the snow and started getting some pressure on the chest. And so they've been checking everything out, you know, blood tests, echocardiogram, stress test, I don't know what all else, he's ready to leave, as most people are, if you're in there at all. Anything else? Okay, let's pray for these. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can bring these requests to you. Most cases, the needs that people have are beyond our ability to meet, but it's no problem for you, and we thank you that you are concerned about our requests, and we'll respond accordingly. We do entrust Jenny into your care. Pray that you give the doctors and those working with her wisdom as they begin treatment to try to shrink this cancer, and before they can remove it, I pray that you'd help her not to have a lot of side effects from the whether it's doing chemo or radiation or what they're going to do. And that in the process of all this, that she would be thinking about you and her relationship with you, and through it all might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that for her family as well. Pray that you'd help Mark as he shares some thoughts at this funeral later this afternoon, that people might be open and receptive to the truths that he would share. for Margie's cousin Joe, in need of salvation and also physical healing from the stroke. Last we heard, left arm wasn't working right, and he was unable to see. Pray that you might bring back his sight and the use of this arm. And for his salvation, Lord, we pray that you'd work in his heart. Also for his daughter, Jessica, that she might be looking to you for help and strength and direction at this time as well. for Margie, as she goes in for get her knee back in good shape again. I pray that you give the doctors the skill they need to perform all that needs to be done, and you guard her against infection and give her a good, speedy recovery. Help Keith as he's trying to hold down the care center too for the kids. We ask that you guide us in our study here this morning. Now we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I drowned that frog. There we go. Okay, so we're looking at lesson number 5. Faith is respectful of others. Looking at James chapter 2. And we're going to be talking basically about discrimination. Yeah, you know, sometimes we get the idea that those sort of things are just something that we've experienced in our own lifetime or we've been made aware of, but it was happening back in James' day and in that first century church. And so we want to look at what was going on there, what type of discrimination. You know, usually we're just thinking black and white or some other race or nationality, but it can go beyond that. The writer here, it's been a long time since I thought about this. Some of you remember the cartoon I was trying to remember who, it seemed like there was a little chicken as well, but there was Foghorn Leghorn. He was the big chicken that went around strutting around giving the dog a bad time. And yeah, and one of the things he would say is, "Don't bother me with the facts, son. I've already made up my mind." Well, sometimes people have already made up their mind about and their opinions about other people for a variety of different reasons. They don't have much facts to go on. Maybe it was kind of almost like an inherited thing. Mom and dad didn't like this group of people, so I'm not going to like them either. And so we're going to look at some of the different types. Well, what types are there of discrimination? Yes. Okay, all right. Political party. Religious, okay, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's quite a variety of pack out there. And today, a lot of people are afraid to say much of anything lest they be charged with being a racist. You know, whether it's old stories that you grew up with, books or movies or something like that, you know, and because they sang a song or something that somebody didn't like. And anyway, it's a power trip for some. But so anyway, we're going to jump in here and chapter 2, those first few verses, he gives a warning here about prejudice. And he's challenging believers here. He starts out chapter 2, verse 1. He says, "My brethren." Okay, so he's talking to believers here. It's not the unsaved. But he says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." This respect of persons is what we would think of as discrimination or showing favoritism or rejection of them. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and a goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. Okay, see the name that word gay has changed a little bit since since this was written. All right, he's got some fancy duds here. Gay clothing, and said unto him, "Sit thou here in a good place," and say to the poor, "Stand thou here," or "Sit here under my footstool." Are you not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? Okay, so prejudice. We haven't arrived yet spiritually, and we won't this side of heaven, but some people think they kind of got it all together. But yet when you start talking about this, it's, oh, I guess maybe that's an area I need to still work on. And when you think of, you take the word apart, prejudiced, pre means to beforehand, okay, and to judge, okay, so we prejudge people. And, you know, we're probably all guilty of that one way or another. You know, we've kind of like Leghorn here. We've kind of got our minds made up before we know all the facts. And sometimes that happens with the media. They pronounce somebody that something happened and they're guilty before they even know what in the world they're talking about. But it makes a news story. But here, he says, you know, we know oil and water don't mix. But same thing as for Christians, and prejudice don't mix. And we want to see how that's true in Scripture. And you know, we're familiar with the Ten Commandments. Again, they were commandments. They weren't ten suggestions. We've all heard that. Well, kind of the same thing here with James. He's not just suggesting that it's not a good idea to be prejudiced, or warning them that, you know, this is something you got to be careful of, lest it, you know, become something you end up doing. No, they were already doing it. And so he was telling them, stop doing this. And some of these feelings that these people were experiencing had run deep. They'd probably experienced it their whole life. And it was a little hard for them to change. And, you know, usually when you get in a situation like that, they're going to say, well, give me an illustration. Give me a situation. Show me where I was prejudiced. So he gives them one before they really are even asked for it. And so he's saying, showing preference, showing favoritism. And he said they had a reputation for this. This was something that had been going on for a while. All right. And he says, somebody comes into your church, okay, your meeting place, and they've got a gold ring. I guess I got one of those. I don't have the fancy duds. Okay. But they come in, they got fancy clothes, and you kind of roll out the red carpet treatment for these folks. Okay. However, if another guy comes in, you know, and he's kind of poorly dressed, doesn't have any fancy ring or clothes, and you make him stand in the back or sit on some little footstool, whereas the rich guy, he comes in and you're giving him the chief seat in the synagogue. So, Keith, Margie, Tammy, you've got the chief seats here. How does that work? How does that work? You know, you go to a ball game, anywhere else, everybody wants to be seated up front. Now, in church, they fill up from the back. And I don't spit past the third row, so it's safe to come up this way. I have one of those screens up in front. But, yeah, that he says, this is one of the ways that you were doing it, you know. And now the rich guy might think, well, that's pretty neat, you know. I get front row seat here. And but the other guy, he comes in and he's not treated quite so well. How would that work today? Do you see something like that happening today? Or is there some other way that people might be judged, prejudged in our culture today? Pardon? Okay, might be where you live. They don't seem to talk about that anymore. Maybe it's because we're a long way from a railroad track. But when I was a kid, you know, I was talking about, oh, they live on the other side of the tracks. Well, sometimes that kind of divided the town. You know, people had a little bit more money lived this way, and people who didn't have much money lived on the other side. And you were probably seeing some of that in Palestine, Ohio. Those folks live down by the tracks. Well, there's only 5,000 of them, so they didn't get too far away from it. And so, yeah, what other ways? Where you live?
Also in a church. 20 years ago, I was in a church that I thought everybody sits in the same darn spot, just like I didn't sit in the right place.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sandy says, that's my spot. I'm used to leaning on this side of the. Yeah, we don't have any little brass plaques. You know, that, you know, this pew is donated by so-and-so or and the pew rent or whatever. Yeah. But you're right. And
okay, so I even thought, too, now, after Sunday school, I'm going to go downstairs. Because there's a whole lot of people that go downstairs. And there's quite a few people here. And I'm really not into eating junk food and drinking coffee.
Well, yeah. Yeah. This is Helen, by the way, if you haven't got a chance to meet Helen. So, okay, yeah. Where we sit in church? Yes. What?
I was just going to say politics or Hollywood.
Okay, yeah. What you think?
Or, you know, any other kind of public figure, being a public figure. But
yeah.
YouTube.
Yeah, or they may, like, what kind of car you drive?
How about COVID? Something
oh. Oh, boy. Now we're getting off. Oh, got your steel-toed boots on, folks. Yeah, to mask or not to mask, vax or not vax. Yeah, you know. But again, we have to keep in mind, who is it that loves to cause division? Satan does. And so we have to be careful we don't give in to, because there's always going to be something out there that would potentially divide us, okay? So, yeah, I mean, it's out there. And so, but I guess that we have to be alert to it and to see that, hey, here's a potential pothole I can fall into and cause problems between me and other people and make sure that, you know, we don't buy into it, okay? Because we're all susceptible to that. And so, well, what do you think the unbeliever who's watching us thinks when they see that? They're not blind.
We're no different than they are.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you guys aren't. You're just like we are, you know. And so, all right. Well, here they were, like I said, rolling out the red carpet for these folks that had the fancy clothes and gold rings and so on, and not treating the other folks very well. And he says here at the end of verse 4, he says, you're become judges of evil thoughts. Okay, and you know, what were they thinking? What was their motive for doing that? What did they hope to gain in the process? And this word judges is a transliteration. In other words, they translated like from the Greek to English, a letter for letter, like they do baptism. Instead of saying baptism, now they translated everything else, that it means immerse. They just wrote baptism, and they took the Greek B-A-P, and then everybody's, well, what does that mean? You know, and so that's why you come up with all these different ideas about what baptism is. Well, this judges really transliterated to critic. They became the critics. They were judging, and not necessarily with good motives. He says here it's evil, or the idea behind that is somehow hurting the other individual and inflict some pain somehow or another. And again, they might have been trying to serve the Lord, but that can come, you know, kind of neutralize their service for the Lord if they're showing prejudice towards people. Okay? And again, this isn't something that, you know, just happened back when they had segregated schools and stuff like that. You know, we've got past that. But there are other ways, as we see here, that we can demonstrate prejudice towards others. Let's look at the next group here. And he says there in verses 5 to 8, he says, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which they have promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not the rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme the worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy brethren as thyself, ye do well. And so he's saying here, you know, you're doing the opposite of what God wants. You know, God is generous towards the poor, not just finance-wise, but are we going to have poor people? Are poor people going to go to heaven? Are rich people going to go to heaven? Yeah, okay. So he says the poor people, they may not have a lot of this world's goods, but they can be rich in faith. You know, if you know you're saved, you're headed for heaven, Okay, you may not have a multi, you know, story house and drive a fancy car and all the rest of the stuff, but you know, that 70 years or whatever the Lord gives us compared to eternity, that's going to look pretty small. You know, that's kind of like kindergarten with the rest of your life, you know. And so, but he says, you've despised the poor. You're putting down the poor. And so he's saying, why? And then he says, do not the rich men oppress you? You know, here you are throwing out the welcome mat, throwing out the red carpet treatment for these rich people. Now, it's a general categorization. Okay, not all rich people, I'm sure, were treated that way, and not all poor people. But this is what they were able to see taking place within a church. And so he's saying, have you forgotten those rich people were the ones that were oppressing you? Those were the ones that were taking you into court. They were harassing you because you were a Christian. They don't uphold the name of Christ. He says, in fact, verse 7, he says they blaspheme. You know, so here you are trying to be kind and gentle towards these rich people who've treated you poorly and are really giving you a bad time. And he says, beyond that, you know, even if you're able to excuse that, he said, look what they do to the name of Jesus. They blaspheme Jesus, you know, cussing up a storm. And yet that shouldn't bother you, you know. And said, what do you think? What do you think maybe their motive was? Why should we treat these rich people better than the poor people? What was that going to accomplish for them?
Give the church more money so the church is going to grow, but then that doesn't really work.
And we can build a bigger building and hope people show up. That's for some philosophy even yet today. But okay, so yeah, we're thinking about what good we might get out of it. All right, and this is a rabbit trail, but it's kind of like those states that and you know, Wisconsin, our governor would like to be one of them. Let's make marijuana legal. And then we can sell it. And then we can get the tax money back from that. So is that a good idea? It's going to make us richer? No. I was reading some statistics some time back, you know, and it was taken to Colorado as a illustration of that. So he said for every tax dollar they brought in, they were spending somewhere between $4 and $5 trying to rehabilitate some of these people, and you know, of all the crime, all kinds of other stuff that was going on, but that was under the radar. We don't talk about what it's going to cost us. We're just talking about what we're going to get in. Well, that might be okay. So we'll get more money in the plate, and you'll find even some churches, we don't talk about abortion or somebody else because we don't want to offend anybody because we need everybody to throw into the till, you know. I'm sorry. That's not the way I'm geared, but it happens, you know. They don't touch anything that's controversial because we don't want to offend anybody. Okay, and again, maybe they were trying to figure out some kind of a motivation. What was motivating them to do that? And whether they thought, if we're good to them, maybe they'll back off and won't be so mean to us. Well, that might work for a little while, but sooner or later it's going to backfire on you. It's going to come back and bite you. And so, you know, he says, Jesus' name, okay? It's a worthy name. There in verse 7, do they not blaspheme that worthy name which you are called? Okay, so Christ or Christians, they're putting it down and you ought to be holding it up. And he says, if you're going to fulfill the royal law, and the royal law is, he's referring to the scriptures, according to the scriptures, he says, then you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. So he didn't say just love your well-to-do neighbors, you know, Who is our neighbor anyway? Is it the guy that's only one or two numbers different than our house address? Across the street, next door, behind us? No. Well, who is it? Everybody. Yeah. And we see an illustration of that with the Good Samaritan. You know, and interesting enough, it was all the religious people that walked by this guy. You know, I got places to go, people to see, you know, appointment to make, whatever. I don't have time for this guy in the ditch that's been beat up. It's the guy that they were looking down their nose at, the Samaritan. And that was one of those that the Jewish people didn't like Samaritans. Who were the Samaritans anyway?
Half-Jews,
yeah. That's a polite way to say it, okay? Isn't it? Yeah, they way back when, they brought in people from Assyria, they intermarried, and they weren't pure Jews anymore. And so those of Jerusalem and other places looked down upon them because they weren't, you know, the 100% blue-blood Jewish person, okay? And also the Gentiles, you know, they had the court of the Gentiles. You could follow the Jewish religion, but you couldn't come in where the rest of the Jews were at. You had to stay over here in this part of the temple. And so, but here he's saying, you know, here we have the worthy name of the Lord Jesus. And if you're going to follow him, he says, then you need to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, do we love ourselves?
Some days.
Yeah. Well, we try to look after ourselves, okay? You know, we're looking out for our health-wise, the food we eat, you know, what have you, that we're trying to take care of ourselves. Well, he's saying you need to have that same kind of feelings towards other people. You want to do what's best for them, too, not just thinking about self. Okay, so God gives us a command there, you know, that we're to love those around about us, rich, poor, or otherwise, okay? That was true for all of us, not just the Christians, but we see here that they were trying to trap Jesus into blaspheming, even as some of these people were, so that they could... Because that was a reason that they could put him to death. They had to come up with some evidence somehow or another. There's really no justification for discrimination. And we mentioned here about the Good Samaritan. You know, it's anybody and everybody around about us. We ought to be treating people equally, not just... Well, this guy can do something for me, you know, and so I'm going to do a favor for him so he'll kind of be indebted to me. And this guy can't do anything. We touched upon that last week about, or maybe it was a Wednesday night. Sometimes they kind of blur in my mind. But it was talking about looking after the widows and orphans. And we said, what are some of the reasons, what is the reason why that was a good evidence of their faith? Well, those people aren't able to do anything for you to pay it back. Okay, it's kind of a one-way street. But regardless of whether people can return the favor or whatever to you, we need to treat them equally. And we look on here and we see wrath against prejudice. We see in verse 9, he says, but if you have respect or prejudice to persons, you commit sin and are convicted of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. But if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty, or the Scriptures. For he shall have judgment without mercy, and he shall be shown no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. And so we see here, you know, talking about God's character. You know, marriage is kind of a picture of our relationship with the Lord. And that's why, you know, he doesn't want adultery to mess things up in a marriage. Okay? Same thing with, again, we're all made in the image of God. When we murder somebody, we're destroying the image of God. And he's saying, you've grown up with that law, and you respect that law. Well, he's saying, in the same way, New Testament's teaching that you're not to be showing prejudice. You're to love your neighbor. And if you're destroying the image of God, you're sinning. Okay? And really, you know, I mean, maybe it's a step or two away from, because sometimes people think, well, I haven't sinned, because they're just thinking the big sins. You know, I haven't murdered or stolen or killed anybody or whatever. Well, how much with the law, how much of the law did you have to break to be a lawbreaker? One. Strike one, you're out. Okay, you're a sinner, all right? And so, you know, it's not like, well, because don't we categorize sins? You know, we're not supposed to, but we kind of do. Well, that's, you know, because we have little white lies, and then there's kind of gray area, and then there's the black lie, you know, and that's just a bold-faced lie. You know, and we think some things are not quite as serious as others. And then if with some of the judges we got today, nothing's bad. You know, we'll set you free. Go ahead. Try again. And so here he's saying when we are showing discrimination, we're actually sinning. We're transgressing God's law. They evidenced it by their behavior. It may not have been so much what they said, it's what they do, you know. And so people are watching us too. Yeah, what we do, not just what we say, but what we do. And we don't have to be breaking God's law in some big way. You know, we can be doing it in more subtle ways, but we're still sinning. Okay? And we're destroying, again, God's desire. Because what does he tell us? Let's see. James, is that... Let me see here if that's... Okay, that's a different verse I was going to look at here. Well, anyway, God shows favoritism, care, grace, mercy towards the poor, not just the rich. Does God have to? Do you think God's got quotas? Okay, we let 100 rich people in, so we got to let 100 poor people in. No, I don't think so. You know, he's looking at our heart, not what's in our bank account. You know, because you know, all that's going to get left behind anyway. Doesn't matter if you got dollars or gold, or silver, or Bitcoin, or whatever else. That doesn't mean anything to God, right? What does it say? You know, the streets are paved with gold. He says, oh, you brought some paving material with you, you know. You heard that joke, didn't you? The guy gets to heaven. Of course, I don't know why St. Peter gets to, you know, he's meeting him at the gate. What you got in the bags? You know, you can't bring anything in. Oh, I really need to bring these in, you know. Well, what you got in the bag? You know, well, he's bars of gold. You brought in paving material? You know, it's like, what's the big deal? Yeah, so it might be something precious to us, but it doesn't impress God, you know. And, you know, you could have a pocket full of diamonds, too, and it still wouldn't impress God. In Matthew 5:7, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Okay? We want God's mercy, don't we? And yet he's saying, if you're prejudiced towards people, he says, here's the bottom line. He says, For he shall have judgment without mercy, that showeth no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. Well, does that mean if a person is prejudiced that he's going to lose his salvation? No. Okay. For those back in the Old Testament, or one of the judgments for adultery was to be stoned. You know, and you can lose your life physically, but it doesn't mean you're going to lose your spiritual life. You know, you can still be saved, make bad choices. You know, I mean, it's like, do Christians still go to jail? Yeah, they can make bad choices, break the law, they pay the penalty. Doesn't mean you lost your salvation, but you got to pay the penalty for the crime. And yet, here he's saying, you want God to demonstrate mercy towards you? Well, then, it's our little saying that we hear today is what? What goes around comes around. The Bible says you reap what you sow, you know. And if we're prejudiced against people, okay, towards some and show favoritism towards others, do we want God to do that to us? No. Well, if he says, if you want God's mercy, he says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. They're going to experience it. And so it's kind of a warning shot to us. And so, again, trying to make it clear here, not to demonstrate or to discriminate whether it's against the poor. And sometimes I think they may have fallen through the cracks. I was thinking about that. And he mentions here, I don't know if that was in your book or not, he mentions two people. One of them was Robert Raikes, that started up Sunday school classes for the poor people, for poor kids. And then you've got other organizations like General Booth that got the Salvation Army going. And, they were looking out kind of after the poor. And yet they might be a little bit forgotten about, even in our own church. I mean, and what got me thinking about that is, okay, if, and I suppose there are some out there somewhere in New Berlin, there might be some needy family, and they used to do that. I haven't heard anything in the last few years, but they used to, and I don't remember if it was something to do with the schools or what, but around Thanksgiving time, they would try to find needy families that people could give food baskets to and that sort of thing, try to help people out. And they do have food pantries, or at least one, I think, in New Berlin. But you got people from all over the place that go to these. It's not just New Berlin people. But, if we had a food pantry, we'd probably be throwing the food out after a while because it's expired. There's nobody that's coming after it. But just because we don't have them in our own neighborhood doesn't mean that maybe we ought not to reach out to help some of the others that do, you know. I mean, it's, well, like the rescue mission, you know, they do a great work. Not everybody's ready to volunteer to go to the rescue mission to work with people. Because some of them are pretty tough customers, but other times they're just needy people. When some years back, you know, I had some exposure to that, you know, and they have a women's division where, you know, battered wives or single moms with kids, and they get tossed out of their apartment and they have no place to go, and they can go there and they have a school to try to teach the kids and help moms and get them back on their feet and do things like that, you know. And so maybe that's something that we think about, you know, and whether it's individually or as a church. But I'd like to think somebody come pulling in here with an old rattle trap car and the muffler's dragging and they're a little bit scruffy, that we would treat them well. And I've said this before, and it's not necessarily for the kind of the poor folk, but there's all kinds of people that we are more attracted to and less attracted to for whatever reason. I think sometimes the Lord sends us people just to kind of see, what will they do with these guys? You know, will they accept them or will they reject them? You know, and through the years, I think for the most part, people have been gracious here and tried to make people feel at home, you know, and they weren't looking at what kind of car they drive or whether they're got a suit and tie on or anything else. But it's something we all need to be alert to. And it's not just in church. You know, I mean, here he was talking about the church. But we can be prejudiced towards people, whether it's the cashier at the checkout stand or, you know, at the gas station or whatever, you know. Like old Leghorn, you know, we've already made up our mind. Don't give me the facts kind of thing. And so I guess it's something we need to be alert to, because although that might be down the scale a little ways in our own minds as the seriousness of the sin, God still sees it as sin. And it's something that we can change. And, you know, everybody's growing up different, you know. Whether, like I say, you hear your parents talking about this group of people or that group of people or whatever, you know, and as a kid, you don't know any different. And so you may grow up either liking or disliking a group of people, and you don't really have any reason for it, you know. I guess in my own life, we lived in Des Moines, you know, and maybe it was segregated and I didn't think about it at the time, but different parts of towns had different groups of people. And we lived on the south side. That wasn't necessarily, that was just kind of your blue collar area to live in. And we didn't have many blacks. I think there were two blacks in my high school, 2,000 kids. Now, other parts of towns would have a lot of them. Whereas on our side of town, we had a lot of Italians. I don't know if they just didn't agree, and so they went to different parts of towns. But, you know, just depends on what you're exposed to. When I was in the service, I was exposed to a lot of different blacks, and some of them were good friends of mine, you know, and it didn't make any difference to me. But for some that maybe grew up in different parts of the country, they got a different take on some of these people, you know, and can demonstrate, discriminate, you know, about things. And so, anyway, it's what, not just what we say. You know, we can clean up our language so we don't say the wrong thing or try to. But it's how we behave. And again, other people are watching us, you know, and if we treat somebody a bit disrespectful for one reason or another, and then we try to give them a track, it's kind of like, you know, you know, this doesn't look like the real thing to me. So think about it and pray about it. The Lord can help maybe change some of our bad habits that we hadn't even thought too much about before. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for James bringing this matter of discrimination to light. You know, it's not just something that's happened in our own lifetime, but it was happening in his day, and it hasn't went away. And it was something that Christians were demonstrating. It wasn't just the unsaved that didn't maybe know any better. And so, well, we know better now, and so we pray that you might help us to kind of look at our own hearts and lives, and if there's some things that need to change, pray that you'd help us to be open to that and make the necessary changes with your Holy Spirit's help. And we'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thanks for coming this morning. All right.